It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. As you saw right at the beginning, we'll just get it out of the way quickly. WrestleMania predictions. Originally, I was going to be doing them solo next Thursday, which would be 2 days before WrestleMania. However, shout out to Ronnie C., who is one of our Patreons and YouTube channel members. He made a proposal for Kevin and I that we couldn't refuse. So here's the deal. On Tuesday, March 28th at 10 o'clock live on Patreon Discord. Now, if everybody's not on Patreon right now, like, oh, boo, boo. No. Hear me out. Tuesday night, Kevin and I will be on Patreon Discord live doing predictions for WrestleMania. What I will then do is Thursday morning, I will post the entire episode on DonTony.com so everybody could check them out. And it's going to be a fun show. Now, a couple of things right off the bat. As far as a recap show, you know, Kev does other podcasts. I am not going to interfere with what he does, you know, every week. He's got a regular schedule, so I don't believe that will happen. I'm just telling you right now. As of right now, I have my stuff set up for night one of WrestleMania. And yeah, those matches, I believe, are going to be going down on night one. In fact, we know of three of them. Well, two of them is official for night one. But the other two, I expect to be night one. And yeah, I'm still going with the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, the main event night one. And then night two, you know, we got, if you look at the top right corner, it is official, everyone. It is official. Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio will be taking place. And I got to be honest with you. I thought the way they did that was tremendous. Shout out to Danielson with the five spot. We are 1 week away from a great weekend. Great events. Am I doing a watch-along? No, I'm not doing a watch-along. I'd love to do that. The problem is, it's either I do a watch-along or I do a recap. Can't do both. My fat ass is not going to be able to sit here for 6-7 hours because WrestleMania will probably be 3 hours plus each night. Then you got a pre-show, and then you got to do a post-show. It's too much. It's too much. So who wants to pay me, you know, the big bucks? Yeah, then maybe I could go invest in a nice ass cushion, but nah, I'm not doing that. Also, there was something else I needed to say. Oh, shit. My mind got all discombobulated. There's a possibility that I might do one recap with both nights combined. I'm going to leave that all up to you. I'm going to post it in the community section to have everybody vote. I will put it up probably Sunday night, and I'll leave it up for a few days. Do you want a recap each night after WrestleMania, or do you want it all in one sitting? So we'll see. But, hey, if you're part of our Patreon family, Tuesday night, 10 o'clock, you know where to be. And if you're not, Thursday morning, just go to DonTony.com. Go check your feed, your iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you access the audio downloads, make sure you download it. So, but yeah, Dominic Mysterio, Rey Mysterio, it's officially on. And I got to be honest with you. I mean, you got to give credit where credit is due. I thought the potted plant did a good job. She didn't do the Helen Hart, which is what we were worried about. She looked like a very concerned, upset parent. Even Aaliyah, with those puppy dog eyes. You remember when Dominic was this big? You remember when Dominic was this big when they were going to put him on a pole with Ray versus Eddie? And you looked at his eyes. He had those puppy dog eyes. And you just felt bad. You just wanted to hug him. Like if he was a Cabbage Patch Kid, maybe a Latino Cabbage Patch Kid. El Cabbage Pacho. You know, hombre. You just wanted to hug it. You wanted to squeeze it. She's got those eyes now that you look at her and you kind of like melt. But I got to be honest with you. You know, when this picture surfaced, oh, she was ecstatic. Dominic punching, getting punched in the face by Ray. If you look at mom, mom looks like she's a patriarch, you see. That is respect. That is respect is going to be forced into you. And Aaliyah is happy like a pig in shit. Aaliyah happy that her brother, well, are we going to have mommy ultimately go after Aaliyah? No. Listen, they did a great job yesterday. And look, I was trying to find fan cam footage of the crowd reaction when Ray punched Dominic. I couldn't find it. I was doing so much prep for this morning for this one. Even though it's going to be a quicker show, still, I had to do so much prep. I couldn't find it. But that pop, some people are arguing that that pop might have even been louder than the hug between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. It's two different emotions. But man, that was great yesterday. So the match is officially on. We just don't know yet what night that will be happening. So when we recap SmackDown a little bit further, we'll talk about it. Now, as far as the agenda for this show here today, we're going to talk about WrestleMania. There's a lot of news, a lot of discussion. We definitely have to talk about Bobby Lashley and LA Knight. I posted on Twitter yesterday, and I delete things rather quickly. I don't do it, you know, for any reason but this. I get the pulse right away if people truly want to know the truth, or if people just want to be clickbaited or emotionally jerked off for a little while. And I saw that last night with LA Knight and Bobby Lashley, and I'll explain why in a little bit because we're going to talk about what's been planned for next Friday SmackDown. We're also going to talk a little bit of Hall of Fame news, and we got to get into some CM Punk stuff. And not only are we going to talk about what transpired the last couple of days, it's amazing that this thumbnail that I made how long ago, 7 months ago, that it seems to be more popular now than what it was before because of what transpired the last couple of days. But we're going to talk about that. But not only that, I got to clear up a story that broke last night. And if you think I'm making it up, go on Google, type in CM Punk, I met Shawn Michaels. That's I don't want to use other words that rhyme with nay or hey. Or, hey, what I used to say on the Flintstones? Flintstones, have a gay old time. Okay. CM Punk posted something yesterday, troll job. But, you know, a lot of people didn't understand where this came from. And it gave me a little chuckle because I remember this story that goes back a decade. And I'm going to share with you the origins of it. But if you need a little bit of a teaser now, CM Punk posted this story on Reddit yesterday, how he met Shawn Michaels at a restaurant once. We've accidentally been given his table, all right? And that's the beginning of this story, and I'll just read you the last sentence of this story. After working up the nerve, I gave Shawn Michaels a call that night, and make a long story short, we had a glorious 11-month love affair, man on man, that I shall never forget. Our bodies intertwined as one, and from the beauty of Morocco to the French Riviera to the snorkeling of the Galapagos, Shawn Michaels and I made glorious gay love to each other from six of the seven continents. Yeah, CM Punk actually wrote that yesterday. Why did he write it? We'll have some fun later on. I will give you a spoiler. Not only is it a troll job, but the origins of this story have nothing to do with Shawn Michaels. So, yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. You know, yesterday, see, I'm pissed off about something. And I was this close of hitting order. And I was like, nope, 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 nope. Yesterday, to close out SmackDown, we had the Kevin Owens show. His guest is Sami Zayn. And they're doing some back and forth, teasing each other. Oh, your entrance theme, what, you know, you had to have your own because you want your own pop and you want your own pop. And they like you. No, they like you. And you know, it's fun. You know, don't read too much into it. But Kevin Owens gives Sami Zayn a new shirt. Now, every year, Kevin Owens makes a custom shirt, KO Mania. WWE Shop sells it as well, KO Mania. This time around, the back of the shirt says KO Mania, but the front of the shirt is WrestleZania. I like it. I like it. Taking that what looks like electrical tape, you know, with the name Zayn over it, and it's part of, it's over it. And I'm like, you know what? I would sport that shirt. For the recaps, I would sport that shirt. So I go on WWE Shop, and lo and behold, the fucking shirt is up there for sale. And I'm like, good. I'm grabbing this shirt. Maybe I'll grab another WrestleMania shirt, and I'll wear a different shirt each night. So anyway, long story short, I put it in order. I get my cart together. I put a couple of things in there as well, and I go to click checkout. And then I said, you know what? I said, maybe I'll have these overnighted. I mean, $25 for shipping is a little bit much, but you know, you get a couple of shirts. It's WrestleMania. What's the big deal? So I go to select overnight shipping. So I get the shirts by Wednesday. I have it in time for WrestleMania, blah, 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 blah. And then I look back to make sure I put the right size. And in the little fine print, shirts will be shipped approximately April 14th. Fuck you. I hate when WWE does that shit. They put all this merchandise. Do you remember the Charlotte Flair dolls? We had the Lily doll. And what was the Charlotte doll? Icky? What was the Charlotte doll again? Charlie. Remember the Charlie doll? I ordered that shit. That shit did not get shipped to me for almost 3 months. By then, Alexa Bliss and Lily and Charlotte and Charlie was no longer. I got these. I still got a bunch. I got them, and I'm like, I'm going to do with these now. They're, like, worthless. Remember the Charlie doll? I still have a few. Yeah, so if you just be warned. You know, I'm not saying these shirts aren't cool to wear after WrestleMania. But you go into a WrestleMania party, you go into a bar, you get a live stream, you get to do reactions, post-show, pre-show, during the show. You know, you want to wear the WrestleMania shirt. And even some of the basic WrestleMania shirts. This will be shipped out the latest, April 8th. What the fuck am I going to do then? You know, so, yeah, be warned if you... Yeah, oh, yeah, actually, JS, I was just going to get to that. Be warned that if you order it on WWE Shop, you're going to get it after WrestleMania. Now, the other option that you have is Google, go on Bing, and search that shirt design. You will get search results from a lot of bootleg shirt sites. And yes, we don't condone buying bootleg stuff or bootlegging things, even though I have to admit, I had a lot of people asking me, DT, what's the deal behind this Andy Kaufman thing? There's like 8 discs. It's all Andy Kaufman stuff. Him wrestling, him doing stand-up. It's all, I have this, somebody made this about 10 years ago, and it's like 7 or 8 discs. It's all Andy Kaufman. So believe me, when iOffer used to be around, remember iOffer those days? Oh, my God. You guys and gals, I'm serious. You know, I had a few people telling me earlier today, wow, DT, you know, I never experienced 56K modem and AOL dial-up. So many of you out there missed the iOffer experience. iOffer, you could buy any bootlegged video you want. I actually one time bought the entire ECW TV and pay-per-view collection for $99. 600 DVDs for $99. You could buy bootleg TV, sports, and everything. And then we were shocked. We used to plug it on the shows all the time. In fact, Kevin, I gave him a bootleg WKRP in Cincinnati TV set series with all the original music, because if you buy the one that they sell on Amazon, all the music is dubbed over because of copyright issues. We were shocked how many years iOffer was able to get away with that stuff. And then finally the police came down and they started busting all the bootleggers, and that was the end of it. But look, if you check out on Google, you will be able to buy that Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens WrestleMania shirt before WrestleMania. If you could get it with expedited shipping, I guarantee you there are people right now that have it on sale. Just be careful. Be careful, because you are buying a bootleg. You might get something that arrives and it may not be to your expectations. Just look around and just see if there's a lot of complaints. But there are some decent bootleggers out there, I'll be honest with you. So, but hope everybody's doing well. We are literally, 6 days away? Well, 7 days away to WrestleMania. Tomorrow is the anniversary of WCW closing down. And the reason why it always crosses my mind, and I'm not saying it for birthday wishes, but my birthday's Monday. And one of my highlights, you know, I don't celebrate birthdays. I really don't. I mean, sometimes I do with my family or my wife because they want to celebrate it. For me, it's just another day. But, you know, one of my memories of my birthday is sitting at home, watching WCW Nitro, seeing the simulcast, seeing the prediction that I made on Captain Ivan's hotline happen, which became folklore, you know, which was just amazing. And then that night doing the hotline, and it carried over into my birthday. So every time I think of my birthday, I think of WCW going out of business, the final Nitro. So, we got a busy week coming up, very busy week. So let's get into some important discussion, mostly about WrestleMania, and one that I want to definitely talk about. Actually, you know, we can mention this right off the bat, because I think you would all want to know this. John Cena versus Austin Theory. That is going to kick off WrestleMania weekend. I know what some of you are going to say. Well, John Cena is getting a red eye and he's getting the fuck out of there, and he'll be out of California within, you know, by 9 p.m. No, that just goes to show you that, you know, yes, you listen, closing out WrestleMania is very, very important. I don't mind matches going on early because, you know, it's like you get a consistent feed of good shit. And John Cena versus Austin Theory is going to be the first match for WrestleMania weekend. Night one, curtain jerker, whatever you want to call it, that's how they're opening up WrestleMania. Now, let's be honest, guys and gals. I think you got to give some of this credit to AEW. I really do. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I'll tell you why. It was only maybe 5 years ago where people would make these vents and complaints that why is so-and-so a curtain jerker? Why is Kevin Owens a curtain jerker? Why is this opening up? Why are you putting him on first? With Brock, it was a little different because people are like, oh, Brock just wants to leave early. He doesn't want to stay for the entire event. But, you know, it was only up to about 5 years ago that people in droves would complain, why is this match the curtain jerker? Why are they opening with this? Why can't it? And now, you know, in AEW, especially because they have the WCW mentality in a lot of ways, every week is almost you have to have a match that could be put on a pay-per-view. Not saying it would headline a pay-per-view, but a lot of times they would kick off Dynamite with a banger of a match. Now we understand with the Big Bang Theory lead-in, you know, those numbers are inflated a little bit, but still, they put on pay-per-view, even TV main event type matches in the beginning. In the beginning. They did it more than WWE did. I'm not saying that WWE did not do it, but up until AEW, people would complain. They would complain, why is this match going on first? This should be going on, you know, next to last. Now you don't hear that anymore. Now it's not a big deal. But it was not that long ago that opening up a pay-per-view, you know, or even a TV event sometimes, people would complain because of the curtain jerker. So that's your first match for WrestleMania weekend. But let's talk about this, because this, like I said earlier, you know, sometimes I try to be informative on Twitter, and I'm reminded more often than not that it's a lost cause. The CM Punk post that I put earlier, I'll probably leave that up there because it's getting a reaction. And no, I don't need reaction, but I'll tell you why I'm saying it like this. Last night they announced that they are going to do an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal next Friday on SmackDown. And that surprised me. And the only reason why it surprised me, and we talked about this on last Sunday sit-down, is I said, what are the participants going to look like? Like, if you look at all the wrestlers that are not going to be on the card of WrestleMania, you know, this is going to look kind of a weak Battle Royal. So they showed this on the screen yesterday, and, you know, for those on audio only, I'm going to read you the participants. But there's a few faces on here that are very, very interesting. And then I'll tell you what I was getting to with Twitter. We have Legado del Fantasma. We got Maximum Male Models, Gallows and Anderson, R-Truth, Cedric Alexander, Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza. We have, it's cut off over here. We got, I think that's B. Dalla. No, wait. Oh, that's AJ Francis. Okay, I could see him now. AJ Francis lost a lot of weight. So I'm telling you, his head is like halfway cut off. I thought that was Ricochet for a minute. I'm like, oh my God, he's turning into Ricochet. Santos Escobar, Dexter Lumis, Butch, yes, they're still calling him Butch on TV, Ridge Holland, Dolph Ziggler, Mustafa Ali. If you look so far, it's a lot of tag teams. It's mostly tag teams. Elias, Rick Boogs, Xavier Woods, Johnny Gargano, Karrion Kross. Let's see, we got Baron Corbin, Bronson Reed, Madcap Moss, and we got LA Knight, Bobby Lashley. Everybody is paying attention to LA Knight and Bobby Lashley. WWE, you did them dirty. You did them dirty. That's all I was reading last night, right as soon as they announced, WWE, you did them dirty. So I DM'd someone who works within WWE, not a high position, but enough that, you know, and we talked a little bit about what the plans were with Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. And I said, you know, is there any word if, you know, he's still going to be on for WrestleMania or LA Knight? And he said, yeah, they're both scheduled for WrestleMania. So even though the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is on Friday, Bobby Lashley and LA Knight are still going to be on WrestleMania. So I went on Twitter, and because I saw people already live streaming. As soon as they made the announcement, live streaming. Bobby Lashley, hear me out. Bobby Lashley, hear me out. Bobby Lashley, hear me out. You know, this, you know, WWE did him dirty. And I click on some of them, and I'm like, no, these people are looking for hand jobs. So I went on Twitter, and I said, listen, everyone, Bobby Lashley and LA Knight are still scheduled for WrestleMania 39 besides the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. It was up there for about an hour, and only two people gave a shit. So that tells me right away, people don't want the truth. They want to use it as a reason to shit on WWE. How the fuck could you do that to Bobby Lashley? How the fuck could you do that to LA Knight? What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? That's what people are more concerned about. They're more concerned about complaining than being like, oh, okay, all right, so maybe it'll be a really good weekend for those two guys, you know, if one of them wins it. But people were not interested in that. So I deleted it, and I said, okay, I'll just share it here on the show with everybody here. Let me make this clear. They are still set for WrestleMania 39. We have seen somebody wrestle on SmackDown and then work a WWE Premium Live event on a Sunday before. People are acting like these motherfuckers are going to be invalids, that they're going to be crippled after the Battle Royal, that, oh, no, they're not working WrestleMania weekend. Oh, they just threw them in the Battle Royal instead. They threw them in the Battle Royal to give it some name, you know, stronger name value. And honestly, if LA Knight and Bobby Lashley were not in that battle royal, what would everybody be saying? Wow, this battle royal is really lacking some big names, but, you know, Bronson Reed should be the one taking this, you know? So they put the names in there to give them a little bit extra. But no, they're still going to be at WrestleMania on camera. Have no fear. But again, you know, if you go online, you go check social media, people are acting like it ain't happening. And it is. So that is your participants for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. No women won. And honestly, I'm glad. If you really dissect the women's division and take all the WrestleMania participants out of it, you know, you're not left with much. And NXT has stand and deliver. And a lot of the very important women for that roster are part of Stand and Deliver. And that would be almost impossible to put them on a SmackDown, you know, Mae Young Battle Royal. You know what I mean? It just leave it like this. That's fine. Maybe we'll find out the final participants in the Fatal 4-Way on the women's side next Friday. I personally think we'll find out on Monday, especially because it looks like we may get two tag teams from Raw or SmackDown. But right now, if you look at it, you know, most of the participants are SmackDown. So you may end up getting an all SmackDown Fatal 4-Way because yesterday we had a qualifying match. Xia Li and Lacey Evans losing to Natalya and Shotzi. Shotzi and Natalya, you know, I think Natty, listen, a lot of people are confused why they paired Natty with Shotzi. I think this is to help Shotzi with not only timing, but to basically smoother a little bit better, you know, in the ring, get her a little bit smoother. You saw that match with Charlotte recently, you know, something was off. You would have thought that maybe somebody had quicks, you know, like cement in their boots. It was something really off. And look, everybody has an off night. That's why I didn't, you know, really criticize it at all. I mean, you know, that's why I didn't even criticize Anna Jay and Britt Baker. Go on social media if it's still available, because AEW keeps trying to pull it down because, you know, it's not some of their best work. But hey, you know, sometimes people do have an off night. When it's repeated over and over and over again, then you obviously have to address it. But Natty working with Shotzi, Natty, veteran leader, you know, in that locker room, she will help Shotzi get a little bit better, especially with her timing. And they won yesterday. A little controversy, Lacey Evans accidentally knocks out Xia Li. But after the match is over, Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey come out. Now, if you saw the news sites earlier in the day, they said that Ronda Rousey was off for WrestleMania because Ronda Rousey went on Instagram and confirmed that she had a fractured elbow from February in a match. But she didn't completely say that she was off WrestleMania. She was just teasing that as of right now, she's not cleared. So, you know, you wait. It's still a week away. The fact that it wasn't just ruled out entirely, we see what happens. Sure enough, she comes out and, you know, she's not in a cast or anything. She's wearing like a little bit of a supporting device, you know, support on her elbow. And they start, you know, mocking Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, who were at ringside during this tag match. They're mocking Natalya and Shotzi, and they're running down all the injuries that they gave some of these women. And then they announce that they are in this match. Yeah, because of Ronda Rousey's injury, they want to minimize. Remember when I said that they're going to keep her out of the ring, you know, just to avoid, you know, like aggravating the injury? I think we talked about that like 2 weeks ago. That's why they were automatically inserted in the match yesterday without having a qualifying match. So as of right now, You got Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler versus Natty and Shotzi versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus to be determined. We'll see if it ends up being a Raw team. Right now, it's all SmackDown. And I personally think Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are winning this because Ronda Rousey, obviously, big name, star power. You know, whether people like it or not, it does attract people. I mean, I don't know how many people will buy, you know, the premium live event, subscribe, or go to the WrestleMania just for Ronda Rousey. But, you know, having a name on that card is a big deal, an appearance, something. But the fact that they're putting him in this match, I tend to think, I mean, once we do predictions, I might feel otherwise, but I tend to think that, you know, the plan all along was to have Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, you know, becoming tag team champions in the future. I just did not think it was going to be against Sky and Kai. I'm like, oh, my God. If you look at the noise on social media the last 4 months towards Ronda Rousey and Damage Control, Shayna Baszler, not so much. But you think about could you just imagine? I mean, you're literally asking for trouble if that was going to be a match at WrestleMania. It was never considered for WrestleMania. Damage Control versus Ronda and Shayna was never considered for WrestleMania. Just making that clear. So, by the way, speaking of the women's tag team champions, on Monday's Raw, we're going to have Miz TV, and the guests are going to be Becky, Lita, and Trish Stratus. Obviously, Damage Control will show up, and we'll probably end up with a clusterfuck. It's the final Raw before WrestleMania, but that's what we're getting on Monday. We're getting the weigh-in with Omos and Brock Lesnar, and we're also getting Solo Sikoa versus Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes yesterday took on Ludwig Kaiser, beat him in about 16 minutes. Excellent, excellent match. After the match is over, Paul Heyman comes out, kind of mocks Samantha Irvin, corrects her the way she can, you know, announced Cody Rhodes as the winner. And, you know, still when Paul Heyman says, the reigning, defending, undisputed, I still hear Brock Lesnar. I still have that going through my head, even when he does it now. But he basically corrects Samantha Irvin and says, you know, the still challenger for the WWE Undisputed Universal Champion. And get a little back and forth with Paul Heyman and Cody Rhodes, and Solo Sikoa is there, and Paul Heyman reveals that Solo Sikoa is going to take on Cody Rhodes on Monday, and Cody once again saying that Solo is not ready, and the crowd is getting behind it. He's not ready. He's not ready. And then Cody says that at WrestleMania, Roman Reigns will also realize that he's not ready for Cody Rhodes either. So, so we have that match on Monday as well. Listen, when we do predictions, actually, you know, we don't even have to bring that up now. Let me bring this up, because this is, it's not only a rumor killer, it is a stupid rumor killer. And you got to call it like it is. It is stupid. There were a lot of people reporting the last 72 hours that WWE, Triple H, Creative are still undecided who is going to win between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. My friends, that is one of the stupidest, dumbest rumors that I have heard in years. It is laughable. It is to the point where, but still, people ran with it as fact. It is not true. And I'll say this on top of it. If you use even the tiny portion of your brain that kind of like every time you do a blunt, when you just look around and you talk like Tony Khan, dude, if we did this, you know, if I take this this, and I turn it upside down. Dude, you smell that? Can you smell? Oh, dude, but dude, if you do two of them, oh, it's even stronger. But dude, if you take them all and turn them all, you know, like the guy, look at the Goldberg news. Somebody interviewed Tony Khan and said, hey, you know, Goldberg's a free agent. Go look at it. I honestly think that he was toking or vaping some funny stuff. I don't think he does the Herb Abrams, you know, preferred, you know, the official supplement of Herb Abrams. Instead of just saying, like, you know, Goldberg's a good guy. He's from the Jacksonville area, and he does this and that. And, yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. First of all, I take a step back, and I'm like, what does that mean, we'll keep an eye on Goldberg? What the fuck does that mean? He might sign with WCW? Keep an eye on what? The guy's home. He's a free agent. He's not negotiating with New Japan, Old Japan, None Japan. We'll keep an eye on it. We're going to keep an eye on, you know, keep an eye on what? The guy is 60 years old or whatever he is. Keep an eye on what? But the best part about it is it's like 9 sentences. And he says at least 3 or 4 times, you know, we'll keep a guy on it. You know, Goldberg, you know, there's definitely history. And, you know, yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on it because, you know, Goldberg, you know, he's a great guy. And, yeah, we'll keep it. Just go seek it out. Just use use the area of your brain that causes people to talk like that or write 9 sentences instead of 1. And you could figure this out easily. If the bloodline implodes, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, I think we all agree, are beating the Usos. Sami Zayn failed at Elimination Chamber in the record books, but Sami Zayn won at Elimination Chamber because he sealed his status in WWE for the foreseeable future. He won with the fans. Sami Zayn, down the line, I think will become a heavyweight champion. When? We don't know. Now is not the time, though. For Kevin Owens, especially. You know, everybody talks about, oh, Sami should have been in a 3-way. What would that have done to Kevin Owens? Oh, he could turn heel again. You know, this has got to be together. This has got to be that moment where they're crying, fans are crying. It's going to be a major celebration. So we know that's happening. Okay. Now. They fail. The Usos. Now, think of the scenario. If Roman Reigns, WWE, is not sure who's going to go over it. You know what that means? What storyline, my friends, do you think they would do with Roman Reigns a month from now if he retains the championship? Okay? Then you say to yourself, okay, maybe rematch with Cody Rhodes, Saudi Arabia. He could still take some time off. You know, a lot of people think that Jey Uso, you know, and him could go at it. Some idiots reported that Solo's going to be facing Roman for the title and all that. All right, some of this could happen, but you would have to develop scenarios to lead up to it. Roman succeeded at WrestleMania. The Usos did not. You want to do that fallout because I won, you lost, you screwed up, I didn't, where were you? And you do that, okay, all right, fine. What if Roman Reigns loses? Can you still do the same storylines? Can you still have Cody chasing Roman Reigns? No, Cody's the champion. All right, maybe Roman gets a rematch, obviously, but the storylines and the feuds and the reasons behind the feuds are different based on who wins and who loses. If Roman loses and the Usos lose, Roman could blame Solo. Roman could blame the Usos. Roman and the Usos could have a complete falling out. Or they could try to become stronger than ever because of what happened. I personally think the bloodline implodes. I think this story has an ending to the bloodline faction itself. So when you read and have people actually putting merit into a report that WWE's still undecided, that means they don't fucking know what they're going to do a week after WrestleMania, a month after WrestleMania, SummerSlam, that, like, oh, we could still do this. Yeah, but what happens if you... just start thinking about the immediate future and you say to yourself, that is some of the dumbest shit that I have seen recently. It's just dumb. It's not even like a scenario. We don't know, maybe. And Las Vegas may not know, maybe. And the wrestlers may not know, maybe. You know, remember the breaking news last week? Wrestlers are still not told if they're going to win or lose at WrestleMania. That's the wrestling business. A lot of wrestlers who are on the undercard, when they show up for SmackDown, oh, their name's on the sheet. That's when they see the win or loss. Oh, next week is a match. You show up at the arena, they see the sheet, and then it shows who's going to win and who's going to lose. That's been wrestling for decades. That's not news. Those are people that don't know how the inner workings are done. And when they learn, like, so they didn't know, like, they don't know if they're going to win at WrestleMania. News story. Oh, my God. A lot of these wrestlers, they don't know. The fatal four-way, the participants don't know if who's going to win. Am I on crack? Why is this, like, valid? So the Roman Reigns-Cody Rhodes match, not only is WWE know who's going to win, every fucking part of the storyline that leads up to WrestleMania leads to a finish. When you have the outcome, whether Cody Rhodes wins or Roman Reigns wins, you are going to realize that Sami Zayn going into the bloodline, leaving the bloodline, turning on Roman, Kevin Owens and Sami reuniting, Cody Rhodes instigating that the bloodline is going to implode. Every little aspect for the last 6 to 8 months, every detail leads to an outcome. You think all this planning that they've been doing with the bloodline and Sami and KO and Cody and his return and Royal Rumble and all this stuff, and then they go into WrestleMania the week before. Dude, you know, what should we do? I don't know. Do you think Roman should win? Sami should win. You know, dude, what do you think? They did all this up until now, like, oh, we don't know. I don't know. You know, it's just toss a coin. Heads, I win. Heads, Roman wins. Tails, Cody wins. Some of the dumbest shit, man. Why do people fucking fall for that, man? Why? It's not even funny. You know, and the journalists that do it, and people tune into it and react to it, God bless those journalists. God bless those podcasters. Because I'm just saying to myself, like, oh, my God, they must be laughing when their show's done. These motherfuckers actually believe this shit. Seriously. All right, let's move on. And before we do, I want to do a couple of super shout-outs here. Shout-out to Phil Maffey. Do I think Vince is going into WWE Hall of Fame this year? No, definitely not. Mm-mm. It's we're going to talk about it on Monday, but he just agreed to give WWE the $18 million that they spent on the investigation. $18 million. You think they hired Jacoby and Myers? Do you think they hired Stephen P. New? They fucking went and they hired these $1,000 an hour lawyers, and they hired 15 of them. You know, and yeah, we'll talk about that on Monday, but no, Vince McMahon, especially with the Hollywood stuff, especially with what went down, and remember the Trump thing. You know, I know a lot of you are saying right now, DT, what are you talking about? Because you don't tune in on Wednesdays, and I don't blame you, because not everybody wants to hear about NXT and AEW. But I made a prediction, and I'm sticking with it, that if Trump is indicted for this Stormy Daniels stuff in New York, the wrestling Twitter world is going to blow up. Vince McMahon will be trending for days. Everybody is going to say, okay, Vince, you're next. Women who have never come forward, here is your time. Here is your time. Somebody out there, please, somebody had to have been criminally abused from Vince. Speak up, speak up. Be that person. Be that Stormy Daniels. Be that whatever. you're going to see the world, wrestling world, go after Vince in a way that I don't think anybody realizes yet. They're not putting him in the Hall of Fame. He is going to be around. He is going to be at WrestleMania. This is not news, everyone. Sausage. Vince McMahon will be at WrestleMania. Vince McMahon will be entertaining executives and corporate conglomerates who are interested in buying WWE. He is going to show them why WWE is the greatest entertainment in the world. He's going to show them WrestleMania. They're going to meet everybody, and they're going to sit in the most luxurious places ever. They're going to wine and dine. That is what's happened at WrestleMania. They're not going to overshadow it by putting him in a Hall of Fame and just inviting articles to say they're putting an alleged sexual abuser in a WWE Hall of Fame. No, not this year. Not this year. Maybe next year. Not this year. Nero Fay, Ramadan Kareem to our Muslim brothers. Yes, it is. It is. Much love. And hope everything is doing well with you. You know, beating cancer last year. And, you know, living in Israel is rough. You know, I see across the globe, you know, it's not fun. But, hey, if wrestling and your family is your escape from a lot of the stuff going on, man, doesn't get any better. Seriously. Family, wrestling, hobbies, entertainment, you know, doesn't get any better. So shout out to you, my friend. Shout out to you. All right. Big Sal. Do I still think that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos will get a main event WrestleMania Night 1? Yeah, I do. I do. What? Yeah, I do. What? Are you wetting me? Did everybody see Charlotte last night? Cutting almost a heel promo. It was more Ric Flair-esque. But Charlotte cutting a promo, which was a little bit confusing at times. What did she say? Yes, I took a note of it. She got on the mic yesterday. And she says that, you know, she reminds everyone that she's a 14-time world champion. She didn't build her career on fear, insecurities, or nepotism. Okay? She just said that yesterday. It caught my eye. She says, I didn't build my career on fear, insecurities, or nepotism. And then literally seconds later, she says, I admit that I have insecurities. But she did name drop Sasha, Nikki, Brie, like a lot of the bigger women's names over recent years, which was cool. But the fans were wanting her big time. And she even, you know, acknowledged it. She's like, are you wanting me? And the crowd just went louder and louder and louder. So she went heel mode for a little while. But listen, again, you know, the people out there that have to, oh, a woman should main event Night 1 and a man should main event Night 2. You know, I don't mean any disrespect. Those are the people you got to just ignore. Whoever is worthy, who their storyline, the fan reaction, merchandise, attention, number of views, buzz, discussions, that should be a major factor. Not who has a vagina and who has a penis. Seriously. I still believe it's going to be Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos. I honestly, like I said, I can't picture going off the air WrestleMania Night 1 with either Charlotte Flair with her hands held high with the belt or Rhea Ripley, even though we all love Rhea Ripley, even though Rhea Ripley is going to, you know, be the cornerstone of this company for years, you look at the just their feud and their current situation. You know, even Rhea Ripley, I fucking love her. I love her work. I love everything about her. But even when she gets on the mic, you know, it's very, very like Xanax like. Oh, Charlotte, you don't take me seriously as champion, but I will be a champion. I'd be like, bitch, I'm going to fuck you up. You know, like, oh, Charlotte, the judgment day has arrived. Oh, Charlotte. And I'm like, you're going to go off the air with that? And then you're going to open up SmackDown and she's going to have the belt in the air? Oh, Charlotte, at WrestleMania, you realize that I am the... It's not even close. And honestly, Charlotte Flair, Rhea Ripley, fucking Tommy, who's in a vegetation state on life support in the hospital that can't eat, sleep, smell, breathe, talk, see, hear. Even Tommy, the veg, would say to you, Charlotte and Rhea aren't winning WrestleMania. Or, no, they'd be like, Charlotte and Rhea ain't going to win WrestleMania. It's not happening. You're not going off the air with fireworks and planes going by and pomp and circumstance and Michael Cole at the top of his lungs. Rhea won the belt! Rhea won the belt! Rhea won the belt! I want Rhea to win the belt. I'm happy with whoever wins it. It ain't main event. It ain't going off the air. Co-main event, yeah. But it ain't going off the air. I'd be shocked to shit. Shocked to shit. All right. Chris Cutler with a 1999. Thank you, Chris. Much appreciated. I see compliments about the Bloodline and Ray Dom stories having predictable outcomes. To me, a predictable outcome isn't bad if the story on the way to the end is intriguing and keeps you guessing, and both having that done. That I agree with wholeheartedly. Roman Reigns, his championship reign, outside of Drew, Clash at the Castle, and Brock Lesnar for a short period of time. Roman Reigns is near 1,000-day reign. We have known the outcome of a lot of his feuds. Didn't matter if it was Daniel Bryan or Kevin Owens or Jey Uso or Pogo the Clown. You knew he was coming out on top. It was just how he was going to come out on top. We didn't mind either, because everything was badass. Everything was great. Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns. We knew. They're not going to put the belt on Sami at Elimination Chamber. It's Cody and Roman. That's the main event. That's the story. We didn't care. We still wanted to see it. That's when you know when something is right. When even though deep down inside you know the outcome of the match, it still doesn't matter. I will say this, though. As of right now, I'm leaning towards Dominic Mysterio beating Rey at WrestleMania. I know what you're all going to say. No, the story should be like you disrespected your father one too many times. Your father's now going to show you that you ain't ready, Dom. That he is going to put his son in his place. As of right now, Rey Mysterio, his career is winding down. I mean, even though he could still go, his career is winding down. Dominic's has just started. And I am ecstatic where this is going with Dominic Mysterio. Look, you remember that episode that we did on a Raw probably about 6 months ago? And I put in the synopsis that night, and it's still there, I felt that that night's Raw was Dominic Mysterio and Austin Theory's coming out party. And a lot of people at that time were like, what are you talking about? You know, they didn't see it with Austin Theory. They thought he was being jobbed out by Triple H. But Dominic, you know, a lot of people just weren't. Now you see where this is going. And Dominic Mysterio getting to face his father at WrestleMania, It's almost, you know, if you want to compare it to other sports, I always remember to this day the baseball game where Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. both played in the outfield on the Mariners. There was even a time where they hit, I think, back-to-back home runs. And playing with your son in a professional environment has got to be the pinnacle. I think years from now, you're going to hear Ray say that, you know, everything I did in my career, you know, facing my son and passing the torch to my son is one of my greatest, or if my greatest, highlight of my career. I think that he's going to say that. So, yes, he could pass the torch without losing. He could pass the torch without winning. He's passing the torch right now before our very eyes. You don't have to pass the torch in wins or defeats. But right now, I kind of lean towards Dominic Mysterio beating Rey. Seriously. I have till Tuesday. Come Tuesday. Then I will make my final decision. But, no, you're right. You know, listen, people complaining, a lot of people don't want, you know, they need to know. We're in a day and age where everything is instant. You want to know the weather? You want to know tomorrow's weather? You go Google or you say, hey, Siri, what's the weather? You know, you get a little bit lonely. You want to play a little pocket pool. You go on, you know, a certain website. Doesn't cost anything. You have your ad blocker on. 30 seconds later, you're done. You know, you want to see, oh, what's the Raw rating, the AEW rating? You just go on 4 o'clock. You just type in AEW rating and boom, it's right there. Anything you want. What's 196 times 44? And you go online and you's like, oh, you get it 2 seconds. We're in a day and age where everything is instant. So people want the information. They want it now. They don't want to wait. They don't want to anticipate. They need it now. They want it now. But, you know, that's the very, very minority, very, very small. Come Tuesday. All right. I think we are up to date with super shout outs for now. If we get more, we will acknowledge them in a few moments. Let me just pull this back up. All right. Let's start bringing this home because we've already gone an hour. And I'm sorry for slurping. I started really getting into like coffee, like specialty coffees. I have now like Chemex and AeroPress, and I got pour overs and V60s and VDs and everything like that. And I never knew that, like, in the prim and proper specialty world, when you drink coffee, you're supposed to slurp it because you want the coffee to hit the tip of your tongue. Because the tip of your tongue, you actually taste things that, you know, you normally don't taste, which is kind of funny because when I use my tongue for, never mind, but you go like this. I taste grape. I taste a little bit of hazelnut. You know, I actually taste Fruit Loops. I taste coffee. I try not to slurp, but once in a while, I can't help it. By the way, you know, I've said this before, and since we're talking stupid for a minute, have you ever done the Macho Man in the bathroom? Have you ever done the Macho Man? I've done it for decades, you know, and if you don't know what that is, I don't know if I invented it, but, you know, when I say, oh, I did the Macho Man in the bathroom, when you got to go and it doesn't want to come out and you're kind of like forcing it, you know, like people go like that. Like sometimes when you do that and it comes out, like I found myself decades ago doing a Macho Man impersonation, not even intending it. Like I would go to the bathroom and go like, ooh, yeah. And I was like, holy shit, I just did Macho Man. Like you just force like, ooh, yeah, fuck you like a monkey. I found myself doing Roman Reigns the other day. I had to pee so bad, and I was in my car stuck in traffic, and I had to pee. And I'm not one of those that gets one of those pee bags that you keep in your glove compartment that's like gel in it, that you pee in it, and then you like wrap it up, and, you know, if you're an asshole, you throw it out the window. But I had to hold it in. So I'm like in my car, and I'm like this, like, I got to go. I got in my house, I went into the bathroom, and I peed, and it felt so good. And I said to myself, ooh. And I was like, wait a minute. I literally was peeing, and I was like, ooh, like that. And I was like, yeah, that's Roman Reigns. Next time, I have to like hold it. But no, I'm not going to go in the bathroom and be like, ooh, you know. All right. By the way, we're getting more screenshots of Mattel figure John Cena in a video game. That is another screenshot somebody sent me. I love it, man. I'm getting tempted to get the video game just to play that character. So, by the way, Bobby Lashley posted this Thursday, I believe. 9 days until the Almighty takes over SoFi Stadium. Someone is getting the ass kicking of a lifetime. Yeah. Remember WrestleMania? Was it 34? Was it 34 or 33? I think it was WrestleMania 34, where John Cena didn't know if he was going to have a match until he literally was in the ring. Didn't Elias come out first? And be like, ah. And then he had a little bit with The Undertaker. I think Lashley, he doing something with Bray Wyatt, it, I think, is still a possibility. Bobby Lashley will be at WrestleMania. Again, the people doing that online, they know deep down inside he's still going to be there. They just, they, people aren't interested in the truth many times. All right, check this out. Hall of Fame, supposed to get another announcement Monday. And a lot of people are wondering, who's the woman? Who's the woman that's going in? I'm still saying Melina. I'm still holding out hope for Melina. California, come on, man. Mick Foley teasing someone from his past, wants Mick to induct him in the Hall of Fame, and everybody is thinking like men, and I'm like, well, why can't it be a woman? And I was thinking, okay, I don't think he's talked to Melina for a while. And you think of California, red carpet, Melina, she's from California. You put Melina in the Hall of Fame and you roll that fucking red carpet down the rampway at SmackDown afterwards. I think it's perfect. I'm still sticking with Melina. But a lot of people still believe it's Stacy Keibler. And she kind of like gave us another reason to think maybe it is Stacy Keibler. Stacy Keibler has not been on Twitter for 6 years. She has not been on Twitter. After 6 years, literally a week before WrestleMania, Stacy Keibler tweeted, breaking news, 6 years it took her to go on Twitter. She went on Twitter and she posted, hi, been busy the last few years as a mother, wife, and raising my kids, but excited to be back and reconnect. Wouldn't your kids still only be like 2, 4, 6? You know, if you really, my point is, yes, you could multitask everyone. You could change a diaper, and while the baby is sleeping, you go on Twitter. Hi, everyone. How's everybody doing? I'm about to make coffee. Does anybody recommend a good baby formula? You know, for some reason, I don't know, these diapers don't seem to be working that great. Oh, I'm going to buy this new toy for my kid. What do you all think about it? You know, her kids are still young. Now she has all this time. She's back and she's going to reconnect. A lot of people think, look, I'm happy that she is doing well. And I'm happy that she is reconnecting in some way. I find it very interesting that it happened right before WrestleMania. So we will see. We will see if Stacy Keibler is put in to the WWE Hall of Fame this year. So, but after 6 years, she is back on Twitter, reconnecting. Let's see. She hasn't reconnected since that original post, so let's see what happens. All right. What else do we want to get into? All right. Yesterday, well, as I said earlier, Natalya and Shotzi over Lacey Evans and Xia Li. Match was only about 3 minutes. It was what it was. They're in the match, as is Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey. We had the contract signing. This was great. We had the contract signing with Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, and Gunther. You know, Sheamus still bringing up, you know, that Drew McIntyre betrayed him and this and that. Drew McIntyre feels, look, you know, I will be Gunther, and Sheamus has proved that he cannot be Gunther. And Gunther is pissed. Gunther wants Adam Pearce to justify why he's facing both men at WrestleMania. Michael Cole reminding us yesterday, reminding us that Gunther could lose the title without being pinned. Yeah. I don't think that would go off well with the IWC. The Gunther is having the longest reign, I think, since the Honky Tonk Man. And he's going to lose his championship and not be pinned. I think some people, would, including me, would probably have a little bit of a problem. You could look at it both sides and say, hey, at least he didn't get pinned. So his streak of not being pinned still goes on. I don't think I want to see Gunther's, you know, memorable Intercontinental Championship reign come to an end because someone else got pinned, to be honest with you. As of right now, I still think Gunther's going to retain. But hopefully after the match is over, Sheamus and Drew could go to the bar and have a couple of drinks, have a pint, and work things out because I like them as a tag team. Butch, still being called Butch. You know, it's funny online. It's funny online that people have to use the name Pete Dunne, like they're making a statement that Pete Dunne is somewhere and he's smiling like, oh, he's calling me Pete. Yeah, I hate the name Butch. Oh, they truly, truly love me. It's like the Great Muda stuff. Like, you know, we're always going to remember the Great Muda from the 90s. That's how he's being portrayed going into WWE Hall of Fame. But you got to get those, you know, weird smart marks out there that have to put a picture of Muda, like, from now, and they have to put KJ Muto going into the WWE Hall of Fame. It's like even, you know, with other people, they have to, like, use the name that is, like, so not anywhere remotely related to WWE wants to remember the Great Muda? We will call him KJ Muto. They want to show him Muda with the red face paint from 1989? Okay, we will show him now. You know, the face that we see now. But they're still calling them Butch. I think they will progressively move back to Pete Dunne. I think it'll be similar to Mia Yim. They usually use Meechan, but they sometimes will say Mia Yim. Like, Meechan is her nickname. I think we will start once in a while hearing the name Pete Dunne, and Butch is his nickname. You know, believe me, my neck of the woods, Howard Beach, I live two blocks where John Gotti used to live. Trust me, there's a lot of people from the neighborhood that have nicknames. And it's a completely different name than their actual name. You know, so, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. But during the contract signing, Butch is a little bit pissed off like Butch always is. And Gunther's like, you know, I'll smack you too. What are you looking at? And Butch jumps the table, starts brawling with Gunther. Next thing you know, we have a nice 10-minute match. Kind of gave me NXT vibes. Gunther defeating Butch. Non-title match. And there was a little brawl outside the ring right before Gunther defeated Pete Dunne, Butch. See, now I'm saying it. That wasn't intended. But after the match is over, we see a brawl, and Drew McIntyre tries to hit, it appears to be Sheamus with the Claymore, but nails Gunther instead. Gunther eats a Claymore. After SmackDown was over, Drew McIntyre was interviewed in the back, and they were insinuating that that Claymore was intended for Sheamus, but it got Gunther instead. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this match. I'm kind of, these are not official thumbnails for the shows, but I got to kind of put Gunther and Sheamus and Drew somewhere on there. So, yeah, this is just my early prediction of where the matches are going to end up for night one and night two. I put this up a couple of days ago. Yeah, I still think that this is going to be the format, but, you know, we have it. It's not made official. The only thing we know is that Roman and Cody will close out night two. We know that John Cena and Austin Theory will open night one. And we know that Seth Rollins and Logan Paul will be part of night one. Other than that, we don't know where the other matches will go down. I will say this. Charlotte, I know nobody took note of it, and I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but something I guess we could bring up anyway. Charlotte yesterday saying that we're 9 days away to WrestleMania. Pretty sure she said nine. And I say, okay, nine is Sunday. So, you know, maybe just because over the years you think pay-per-views, you think Sundays, that might be the reason why she said that. So I'm not reading into it to say, oh, well, maybe she's going to be on night two. I know Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio are doing an autograph signing the day, Sunday of WrestleMania. So I would think that, you know, Rhea Ripley and Dominic, would they have their same match on the same night? Possibly. I don't know if you have Rhea and Charlotte on night one and Dominic and Rey on night two. That's what I feel it's going to be right now. But hey, who knows? Maybe Rhea and Dominic are going to be on the same night. I personally think Rhea Ripley's got to eat a 619. Even if she ultimately, you know, leads to Rey losing to Dominic, maybe Rhea tries to interfere. Rhea tries to interfere. Rey hits the 619 on Rhea, and then Dominic nails a finisher on Rey and pins him. That could possibly happen. So, yeah, I didn't have any room for Brock and Omos. Like I said, I'm just playing around with thumbnails right now, so I don't know. But I'm looking. Did I leave anything out really for yesterday? Not really. We pretty much covered everything we needed to cover for, I mean, having the Kevin Owens show to close out SmackDown and then the Usos, Solo Sikoa, you know, earlier with Cody Rhodes hyping up their match for Monday, you know, just having a little bit of a brawl to close out SmackDown, that's fine. You know, it adds a little bit more. I think as these happen each time, people are less and less. Because there was a lot of people like, oh, you know, Jay still, you know, has feelings for Sammy and, you know, is going to be hesitant. And I think this is a little bit overthinking. So, yeah, it was the Kevin Owens show was a little weak yesterday. You know, I mean, we still got a week left. I mean, this Monday on Raw, we're going to have a boatload of shit. And look, next Friday, all roads lead to Reigns. You know, they're playing on the Rhodes word again, and, you know, there's going to be a massive brawl to close out SmackDown next week. I certainly don't think it's going to open up SmackDown, but Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes are going to brawl. A lot of people are hoping for blood, you know, at WrestleMania. Like, even though WWE doesn't like doing blood anymore and won't do blood, I think once in a blue moon, I think you should do it. It really adds to a match, but, you know, there's been other times where it would have been perfect scenario and we did not get that. Plus, you know, the more I think about it, if Cody wins and he's got his, you know, WWE puts those black and white photos because we're not supposed to see blood. Like, if you see it in a black and white photo, it doesn't look so bad. I don't want to see later on pictures, screenshots, and Cody's got the belts in the air and he's got blood. But they do it in a black and white photo, so it's a little less sensitive. Yeah, I don't know. The more I think about it, I don't think we're going to get blood. So, all right. So before we go off the air, and don't forget, plug. Tomorrow, sit down. Got any questions, WrestleMania, not anything, we'll talk about it. And once again, we'll talk about CM Punk and AEW in a moment. I got to give, you know, Angie a lot of credit. She did a great job yesterday. You know, it's not easy to have your son, character or not, to yell in your face and call you a deadbeat mom and tell her to shut up and calling his sister stupid. I mean, it came across, everything about it was really good. You know, I see a few people in the chat room talking about it. I thought they did great yesterday. And I'm happy. If there was one consolation, you know, I'm sure they're disappointed that Dom cannot celebrate at the Hall of Fame with them. You know, and here's another thing too. You know, and this goes back to what Undertaker said recently with Ariel Helwani. Have you seen Dominic and Rey in public together in the last 6 months? Any pictures anywhere? No. That adds to why this is even better, because you're not even teased or reminded in some way. And no, I don't believe Dominic will be there. And, you know, this is, you know, after the cameras are off, you know, I'm sure they'll be together, you know, somewhere else, but not in public. And that's the thing I love too. They're feuding. They're supposed to, you know, well, Rey doesn't hate his son. Rey hates what his son has become. Dominic supposedly hates his father. I will say this. When we do predictions on Tuesday, one thing you could bet. Sometime during the match with Dominic and Rey, Dominic is going to either start crying or he's going to start calling out, Dad. Won't even be surprised if he wants a hug. I think Dominic is going to play on Ray's emotions. I think Dom is going to, you know, because up until now, Dominic's like, come on, what are you going to do? You're going to do nothing. You're going to do what you always did. You're going to walk out. In that match, you're not going to have him doing that for that long. You're going to see him trying to get Ray to feel bad. And he's, I wouldn't even be surprised if Dominic during that match says, I love you. I love you, Dad. Watch. Watch. When he does that, don't be surprised if Ray's eyes are legitimately like watery a little bit. He's going to say that. Oh, yeah. I love you, Pappy. I love you, Pappy. All right. Let's quickly talk about the CM Punk disaster. And, you know, I think a lot of people are starting to realize that some parts of this foundation within AEW are just not going to budge when it comes to CM Punk. You know, a lot of us think that WWE is not interested in that baggage, even though, yeah, it could definitely get a lot of buzz, a lot of headlines. But CM Punk returning back to WWE, WrestleMania 40 is over a year away. And a lot could happen in a year. And I think as time goes by, I think WWE, maybe if it was closer to WrestleMania 40, maybe they would think about it. But right now, I don't think WWE is interested in having CM Punk in that company. Especially if they're up for sale, and I keep saying this, if Saudi Arabia were to buy WWE, I could picture CM Punk and a boatload of others. I ain't working for these fucking mass murderers. You know what they're going to say, and people are going to quit. So I personally think until this WWE sale situation goes on, you got to be very, very careful who you hire and who you don't. But I personally just don't see right now CM Punk going back. I don't think it matters to WWE all that much if CM Punk were to cut a pipe bomb on AEW and WWE. I know a lot of us online would love to see it in fantasy land, but for the overall scope, why even acknowledge the petulant child? But the thing is that what you have learned over the last couple of days is that the locker room is extremely divided about CM Punk. There are a lot of people in that locker room who are 1,000% behind CM Punk, but they cannot speak up. They don't have that pull. They don't have that power. And AEW might be their biggest shot of making any decent amount of money about, you know, getting any type of success or even getting a platform to try to improve and maybe, you know, increase your value in the future. There are a lot of people I'm just surprised that the voice of the voiceless, you don't ever hear anybody ever say that anymore. And I honestly think CM Punk is the voice of the voiceless for quite a few within AEW. And you have seen in some ways those who support CM Punk, who have supported him publicly, will get, you know, some of the bullshit headlines. I mean, you remember not too long ago, you got CM Punk working out with Malakai Black. And they're posed, you know, the UFC working out in the gym, and they have a lot of appreciation for each other. And then you got elite executives leaking out dirt about Malakai Black, you know, wanting, you know, mental time off and, you know, having this and having that. And that's when he was in his car that time, Malakai Black, and saying, I don't appreciate my personal, you know, discussions being made public. Who do you think did that? Jose the janitor, Francois the chef, you know, Harvey the UPS delivery guy. You just so happened, hey, could you sign for this? And then you hear in the background, I need mental time off. No, the people that work behind the scenes in AEW are doing that. And there's a lot of washwomen there, and there's a lot of people with power. And over the last couple of weeks, apparently there's been some talk with CM Punk and Tony Khan. And a little bit of discussions about possibly coming back. And just like Miro, and I've exposed this 10 times in the last 6 to 8 months with Miro and others, the minute something positive comes out there with someone who is against or at odds with some of those elite EVPs, here comes, with all due respect, here comes Meltzer with a story that tries to silence it. Miro gets a speaking thing, I think, for a cartoon. I think it was just announced. And that sparks up. The fuck? Why aren't they using Miro? Miro's healthy. Now, all of a sudden, boom, you got Meltzer and others. Oh, Miro didn't want to do this or something with a battle royal and someone. I'm like, it's exactly what I'm talking about. Anytime something positive or any momentum that could be anti or against some of these elite coddled EVPs, something comes out. So what happens? We start hearing that some bridges may be mended with CM Punk and some within AEW. There's also been buzz. Fightful did a great job with it yesterday. So if you go check out Fightful, they talked a little bit about CM Punk and some of the things going on. There's some rumors, strong rumors, that Kenny Omega and CM Punk may have had some conversations. There's also a report, I believe Fightful put it out, that CM Punk was even willing to make some public comments apologizing for what happened. And that's something that we said a long time ago that, you know, since this was made public, you know, I think some public apology needs to be made also. But just understand something. This is what people need to realize. The media is the biggest culprit behind a lot of this. And the EVP, some of them behind the scenes. Because I have been using this phrase for almost a year, that some people within AEW, I call some of these media guys pigeons, and these elite coddled EVPs toss crumbs to the pigeons. Oh, there's a little bit of buzz. Why the fuck is AEW not using Miro? Pigeon. We call this Pigeon Dave. Here's some crumbs. Miro didn't want to do this. Miro didn't want to do that. Miro didn't want to do this. So they keep giving him crumbs. That's why I said 8 months ago, CM Punk is going to be public enemy number one. And anytime you hear any positive buzz about CM Punk and AEW, you're going to see crumbs thrown out to pigeons to try to shut that up. See, on Dynamite, they put a call. I don't know if you noticed this. I didn't even realize it. But on Dynamite, when they showed the Young Bucks going in the ambulance to the hospital, look at the production truck on the right. The production truck has CM Punk's face on it. They put cardboard in front of his face because they didn't want CM Punk's face on the camera. Here is my reaction to that. Why did you need to put the production truck on camera in the first place? Why couldn't you just put the camera in the opposite angle? Because you wanted to show one of the other people. It was just, see what I'm saying? Like, why even put that out there that we're covering up his name? We're giving him the Benoit treatment. You know, like, don't even show the fucking production truck. Put the camera in the opposite direction. Because doing that, it just comes off as dickish. And if you don't like it, spend the money and repaint the graphic. Just don't show the truck. But they show it. They put something over it. Just looks like a dick move. So anyway, so now you hear that Kenny Omega and CM Punk may have had a little bit. In fact, a couple of days ago, CM Punk posted online that he started reading Steve Kern's book. And I think, I don't remember who it was, Gato and Jado. Two people had a fight in the back. And supposedly, promoter, I don't know who it was, but whoever the promoter was, dragged him into the locker room or into the office the next day, and they hashed everything out. And a lot of people interpreted that, that, you know, there might be some amends with Kenny Omega and CM Punk. There's been some discussions with Tony Khan and CM Punk. So now you're starting to think, you know what? Maybe he is going to come back. Well, somebody gave Dave Meltzer tainted crumbs. Basically, yeah. This is basically what happened, the EVPs. Hey, Pigeon, come here. Got some crumbs here. Got some punk crumbs here. And what happens? The pigeons, tainted crumbs. The crumbs were tainted. Dave Meltzer goes on the message board and says, quote, "Do you know why they did not advertise CM Punk versus John Moxley longer and why it had a short build? Because Punk agreed to it. Then AEW got a legal letter saying that he wasn't down with it and wasn't doing it, and he didn't know if he'd come until Tony put his foot down. There's a lot of nice things that I could say about him, and you could absolutely argue his position on John Moxley was correct, but you can't argue that he willingly did what he was asked to in that scenario." Okay. So, in response to that, CM Punk says, quote, "Sigh, I wasn't clear to come back to wrestle yet. The plan was to wrestle at the pay-per-view. I sat and listened to John Moxley's Rocky III idea. I explained how I'd never seen a Rocky movie and thought the idea sucked, but if the boss wanted to do it, whatever. He said, Moxley said to CM Punk, that he wouldn't lose to me. I'd never experienced someone refusing to lose to me. I just left. I asked Tony if this is what he wanted. Tony said yes. He's the boss, so I said okay, but I need to be medically cleared first. They kept saying that it could just be a squash, so I didn't need to be cleared. I scoffed at that. My health is more important. Dave Meltzer is a liar. Chris Jericho is a liar and a stooge. There were plans, but plans always change. And I will never put a company above my health ever again." That is what he wrote. And then he deleted it. But obviously, once you post something, it never truly goes away. Now, there's a lot you could take from that. You could say to yourself, wait a minute, he wasn't medically cleared, but Tony Khan still wanted him to perform. That's something you should think about right off the bat. You know what I think immediately? You know what happened with Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara? When Matt Hardy fell off of whatever that little commercial truck warehouse loader thing, and he fucking landed on his head, but they had a stupid stipulation that if Matt Hardy loses, he must leave AEW. Instead of just stopping it, you know, you have, and look, I don't criticize the doctor, but we ain't fucking stupid. He landed, you could see what he was. Rebby Hardy was flipped out, everybody else. Matt Hardy trying to, you know, fight through it, because he doesn't want the storyline or anything else. But the referee is like, hey, Matt, who's our current president? Jeff? You know, like, what's two and two? Version two? Like, the lights were on, but nobody was home. And, like, and they continued the fucking match. And that night, everybody, I don't care who you are, you won't admit it because you want to be part of the cake and ice cream club. Everybody was like, they would not stop the match because of the stipulation. And that was just fucking awful. And now you hear that, you know, he wasn't medically cleared. They still wanted to go with that match. So I think that's pretty big deal. But, you know, here's again, I said this the other day and people didn't understand what I meant by that. I don't necessarily blame Dave Meltzer on this. I don't necessarily blame Dave Meltzer. What I blame it on is the people in the back who are sending these crumbs to him and others to get a narrative out there, and you accept it because those are your contacts. Those are your only, well, not only connections, but you accept whatever is given to you as fact, even though it is biased. Now, he called Chris Jericho a stooge. So did Chris Jericho leak it to Dave Meltzer? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I wasn't there. All I know is that this is exactly what we have been talking about for 8 months. So now Fightful talked to a bunch of people pretty important in AEW, not necessarily the EVPs. A lot of people feel like what went down the last couple of days killed any momentum of CM Punk coming back to AEW. And who knows? Maybe this had some influence about FTR's immediate future. You know, because, you know, we predicted that also, that Dax would be public enemy number three with AEW fans because of his friendship and alliance with CM Punk. So, you know, this is terrible, but it goes to show you that the locker room is still extremely divided. And, you know, just to build on what I said Wednesday, people got to stop feeling sorry for Tony Khan, man. You know, I don't understand why people keep saying that. He's not a child. You know, this isn't that, you know, little kid wins $1 billion and buys a business and runs it successfully. The man is what, 40? Around there, close to it? You know, this is, and he's so smart outside of AEW. You see his media ventures and soccer and football and everything like that. You see how smart this guy is when it comes to wrestling. His mind turns into jello. Maybe because the soccer players and the football players, they can't vape, they can't smoke, they can't hang out, they can't drink, they can't do this because of the rules. But wrestlers, yo, dude, we're smoking. Not against the law. Dude, want to go in the back? Dude, we got some chocolate tie. Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know what it is. It just turns into the fucking the guy from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, just with goofier hair. I don't care if the team sucks, Benjamin. His professionalism outside of wrestling is impressive. It's impressive. I'll give him that. All right. I want to give a quick shout out to Pasquale Maggiore. Pasquale, DT, I appreciate the content. I appreciate you appreciating the content. Thank you, Pasquale. I love the name. I got one of my close friends, his name is Pasquale. On his legal papers, it's Pat, but we call him Pasquale. Hey, Pasquale, Vinica, how you doing? Hey. All right. Last thing before we go. We got to talk about this. Okay. I don't criticize younger news outlets out there that don't know the history or certain reasons behind things. But instead of doing a little research, they just post it without any checking whatsoever. And there's quite a few news sites that are reporting that CM Punk posts a bizarre story on Instagram about Shawn Michaels. Okay, I'm going to share with you what he posted, and I'm going to share with you the backdrop behind that story, and you'll put two and two together, and I think you will understand why CM Punk posted it. Not even a shot on Shawn Michaels, okay? For those, the video, you can look at your screen. For those in audio only, I will share it. Now, CM Punk posted this last night, and this is what it says. Quote, I met Shawn Michaels at a restaurant once. We'd accidentally been given his table. Apparently, he was fond of the restaurant and had a specific table he liked, and the management had messed up and gotten their days wrong. It was a Tuesday, come Tuesday, and they thought he was coming on Thursday or something like that. Anyway, the manager, completely embarrassed, this is a pretty nice restaurant, comes by and says, quote, I'm sorry, but we'd like to move you to another table if you could be troubled, and we'd gladly compensate you for the cost of the meal and any other meal you'd like while you're in town. my sister and cousin were both like, yeah, that's cool. And I kind of played the asshole bit. I'm sorry. I just don't understand. We've been here for 15 minutes. We've just ordered. Can't we finish our meal here? Then out of nowhere, Shawn Michaels comes up next to the manager and says, Paul, these guys could finish. We'll be at the bar. I got some time. And I, being a big HBK fan, said, oh, wow, I had no idea. Please feel free to give them the table. Shawn was grateful, shook my hand and said thanks, then gave me a card with his number on it and told me to give him a call later. After working up the nerve, I gave him a call that night, and to make a long story short, we had a glorious 11-month love affair, man on man, that I shall never forget. Our bodies intertwined as one, and from the beauty of Morocco to the French Riviera to the snorkeling of the Galapagos, sorry, I can't pronounce it, everyone. Shawn Michaels and I made glorious gay love to each other on 6 of the 7 continents. Now, I'm not going to go the Tony Khan route and say, I was on message boards in the mid-90s when there was dial-up. But as soon as I saw that, I started laughing. And I know some of you out there immediately saw what this was. CM Punk was trolling last night. CM Punk was not taking a shot at Shawn Michaels. What CM Punk did to prove a point was he cut and pasted a post, a troll post, that somebody wrote before about Shawn Michaels. Now, what I'm going to show you right now is not the origin, because some people out there who thought they did a good Google search, they went on like Fightful's Twitter and others, and Fightful didn't report it as news. They were just laughing at it. But they were like, oh, that's from Copy Pasta or Pasta Copy or, you know, Pasta Vazul. No, you didn't search long enough because you weren't part of the message boards at that time. What CM Punk did, this is legendary. If you've been on message boards, Reddit, Copy Pasta, wherever you want to say, for years, there are some legendary troll jobs that have been posted over the years. This is one of them. The origin of the Shawn Michaels creepypasta, whatever it is, the origin of this Shawn Michaels post goes back 8 years ago. 8 years ago. I have on the screen right now from, I think, Copy Pasta, whatever it was, the original person who wrote the story. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll just read you a couple of sentences from it. Quote, I met Shawn Michaels at a restaurant once and accidentally been given him his table. Apparently, he was fond of this restaurant, had a specific table he liked, and the management had messed up and gotten the days wrong. Blah, 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 blah. And we go down to the end. Shawn Michaels was grateful, shook my hand, and said thanks. Then he gave me a card with his number on it and told me to give him a call later. After working up the nerve, I gave him a call that night, and to make a long story short, we had a glorious 11-month love affair, man on man, that I shall never forget. Our bodies intertwined as one, and from the beauty of Morocco to the French Riviera to the snorkeling of, I'm not going to say it again, Papagallos, Shawn Michaels and I made a glorious gay love to each other on 6 of the 7 continents. That was posted 8 years ago, and that was legendary because people are like, huh? And that sparked all this, I met this person once, I met this person once. If you remember, even the dumb stuff recently, I met Kofi Kingston once. And he was very rich. There was a lot of people back then that made all these wild, fictitious stories about meeting wrestlers. But the Shawn Michaels one took a life of its own because back in the day, Shawn Michaels was alleged to maybe have his M&Ms with plain and with peanuts because he appeared in Playgirl magazine. A lot of people don't know that story. I actually covered it on the History Show. I don't remember what episode it was, but we covered it. Back when Shawn Michaels appeared in Playgirl, there were a lot of buzz at that time, a lot of crazy rumors. In fact, wasn't there an episode on Raw that actually somebody wrote Shawn Michaels is an F, actually made TV? It's an infamous sign that you could actually find on a Google image search. There was some pretty wild claims against Shawn Michaels at that time, believe me. You know, so a lot of people don't know it now, but that's where a lot of this came from. But there's more. The origin of how I met Shawn Michaels, was not pizza pasta, whoever it is. And it doesn't even have to do with Shawn Michaels. My friends, this is where this first started. We go back. It actually says 11 years ago, but it's really 12 years ago. On another page, it was, I met Peyton Manning once. That's the original. Here's a couple of sentences from it. I met Peyton Manning at a restaurant once. We actually been given his table. Apparently, he was fond of the restaurant, had a specific table he liked, and the management had messed up and given the days wrong. It was Tuesday, called Tuesday, and they thought he was coming on Thursday or something like that. Yada, 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 yada. So we go to the final sentences. Peyton Manning was grateful, shook my hand and said thanks, then gave me a card with his number on it and told him me to give him a call later. After working up the nerve, I gave him a call that night, and to make a long story short, we had a glorious 11-month love affair, man on man, that I shall never forget. Our bodies intertwined as one, and from the beauty of Morocco to the French Riviera to the snorkeling of the Papagallos, Manning and I made glorious gay love to each other on 6 of the 7 continents. That's the story behind it. All you do is just cut and paste something, and then people will just... You see where it goes. That's the origin of this story. I will say this. Why that story, after all this time, is on CM Punk's mind to repost it, I have no idea. I don't know where that came from. You know, I mean, if you want, they look, there's a screenshot. There's a screenshot. They actually, yeah, look. There's a screenshot. It's a picture of Shawn Michaels with CM Punk. It's completely innocent, by the way. But listen, if you go on Wayback Machine, you know that message board that Tony Khan talked about? There was a lot of Prodigy chats and boards back in the day, mid-90s, late 90s. And I don't know how much of it was archived on Wayback Machine. But if you go on Wayback Machine and do some searching and pull some of these boards, you will uncover some legendary troll posts that are in the Trolling Hall of Fame. You know, as I said the other day, this guy is the original troller. I mean, this guy is the OG of trolling. Andy Kaufman is the OG of trolling. Even in wrestling, motherfucker knew how to troll people. But I'm telling you, if you want to go, you'll pull gems that people haven't seen probably in 15 years. Just cut and paste it, and people will run with it in ways that you don't even realize. But I don't know why necessarily CM Punk posted that other than to prove a point. You know, you see now what's progressed since he posted that from yesterday. You know, but yeah, he's basically cut and pasting something from a long, long time ago that took a life of its own. It was legendary on the message boards. It was pretty fucking wild. And there are other ones out there. Trust me, this is pretty calm compared to some of the others out there. So, oh, Chaos, yes, I did find the WFAN clips with Jody McDonald and Rich Mancuso. There's apparently another YouTube channel also that has some. And I will say this, I'll talk about it tomorrow a little bit more. It brought back so many memories. Why I thought mid-90s, I thought 93, 94, but it was actually more like 91, 92. But, you know, I'm convinced that I called in once. It must be one of those, I forget, what's that term when you think you heard something, or you know you heard something, but it's not. I can't remember what they called, like, for some reason, because I remember sitting in my car, 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night, I think it was Saturday nights, and I wouldn't want to go into the house because my parents were sleeping. I didn't have a radio in my room. So I would literally park my car and sit in front of my house, sometimes eating a burger and just listening to them. It's not deja, Mandela effect. Thank you, Benjamin. It's almost like a Mandela effect. Like I'm convinced that I called in and I talked about something with wrestling. I can't remember what it was, because that kind of inspired me. to call wrestling hotlines, and I would leave messages on wrestler hotlines. And then in 1997, I started my own wrestling hotline, and the rest is history. But I will say this. I don't remember which person it was. I don't think it's either one of them. They used to bring someone else on. That guy knew nothing. I mean, you know, some people have fun with Bill Bahati. You know, I'm not saying anything good or bad about him. I'm just bringing up a name. People will say things about him like, oh, he just like looks at things and tries to invent news out of it. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know him. I don't care either way. But this guy that used to go on WI, this guy was like, oh, no. And he's talking about things about, oh, my sources tell me that, you know, Hulk Hogan, you know, and I'm like, who the fuck told you this? Like, it was just everything the guy said was wrong. I got to go watch the episode again. This guy made some claims that were just, like, bizarre. I mean, just bizarre. And I got to see who it was. So, thank you, Maggie. She says, I'm still making history. I don't know when to say when. I don't know when to say when. Like, I'm not an alcoholic, but I'm a wrestling-aholic. I don't know when to say when, but... So, yeah, so that's the story behind this bizarre Instagram post that CM Punk posted. It is a cut and paste troll job to just prove, as far as, you know, how things will people will run with it and, you know, interpret it in different ways and, you know, just trolling people as well. But again, listen, CM Punk, I don't talk to him. Nothing against him. I've been defending him since the media scrum. But I will say this. I don't know why that was on his mind. To come back from that after all these years, maybe the Kofi Kingston incident recently. For real. Remember that guy recently? Oh, I met Kofi Kingston once, and he was very rude at the airport, and he had headphones on. And Kofi's like, no, I don't wear my headphones like that. Well, you were drinking a coffee. I don't drink coffee. And you realize that, you know, maybe that's to do with the fan interactions with the airports. Did you see the footage that Rhea Ripley posted? I'm going to share it Monday. She posted footage of what was going on at the airport with her. And, yeah, you do feel bad for her. You even see on her face a little bit where she's like, are you kidding me? Like, she got, you know, like, the interesting thing about it is look at the things that people were prepared with for her to sign. And you could tell that quite a few of them, they weren't wrestling fans. I'm not saying that they weren't wrestling fans. Most of the people that were there to get a signature to throw it on eBay. In fact, I bet you if you go on eBay, type in Rhea Ripley signed, and just do a search over the last 5 days, you'll probably see some of those items on eBay right now. So Fly, happy 25-month anniversary being a channel member here. Awesome. Awesome. By the way, channel members will get that predictions Tuesday night. So, but again, just a reminder, everyone, this Tuesday on Patreon, come Tuesday, Kevin and I will be doing WrestleMania 39 predictions. And now since we got pretty much the entire card lined up, we'll do that. And no worries, everyone. Thursday morning, come Thursday. In the morning, I will post it online for everyone so everyone will be able to access it. And then we'll see what happens with recaps for WrestleMania. I will post a poll. Definitely would love for everybody to vote on it because you're going to decide if we do two separate recaps for night one and night two, or we just do one combined, and maybe also, should we do it live that Sunday night, or should we maybe do it a day or two later? You know, that's not out of the question. Who knows? Maybe, you know, we do that instead. I don't want to, listen, make no mistake about it. You know, like, DTKC show is not back on a regular basis, but we are around WrestleMania season, so, you know, somebody, you know, Ronnie, who shows up here once in a while, he made a really nice, generous gift to us. And he's like, would you guys do a WrestleMania predictions? I said, yeah. I said, I'll talk to him about it. He's like, well, what if I sent a little something, you know, in appreciation? And I said, no, you don't have to do that. He's like, no, I insist. you know, don't make me super chat it, you know. So I was like, all right, you know. And he sent it, and we were like, yeah, let's do it. We were going to do it anyway, probably, but, you know, that was very, very kind of you. So I thank Ronnie, and I thank you all. So we went a little bit longer, but that's all right. We had some great, important discussions to make. I think we tackled everything we needed to tackle. Now, Monday will be the Raw go-home show, and I think now we can start winding down with, you know, the analysis and stuff. I mean, pretty much the road to WrestleMania is set. Now we just got to find out who's going to be on which night. And I honestly think WWE will clear a lot of that up by Monday. I think by Monday night, we should have a clear idea of all the matches and which nights they go down. Because understand something. People who bought tickets, they're going no matter what. But it's nice to let your paying customers who maybe are only going on night one, at least they have an idea as far as who is going to be wrestling on it. Now, we know Cena and Theory and Rollins and Logan Paul and, you know, Uso, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, that's going to, should be on there as well. You know, but there's not as many matches as you realize. You know, so you're talking about six, seven matches, seven, I would say, what, on each card? That's manageable. And these matches could take their time, which is even better. So, all right, I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. If you have any comments, post it in the comment section. I always read them, and every couple of days I respond to a boatload. And if you're around tomorrow night, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, you're more than welcome to join me once again to sit down. That episode is all Q&A, whatever you want me to talk about. I show up with a blank piece of paper and you fill in what we discuss. So what we discuss tomorrow, I have no idea. That'll be up to all of you. And yeah, if not, I'll see you on Monday. Where's my outro? There's my outro. I'll see you all again soon. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.